Luke chapter 2.
She's all right.
We have we're at where the shepherds, the angel revealed Christ, who Christ was, where he was to the shepherds, and they found him, blah, blah, and then they, we studied 18 and 19 yesterday, and all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Returned is epistretho, and it means to be converted. The angel revealed Christ, the Messiah, to the shepherds. The shepherds were the They weren't just any shepherds, as we talked about. They were the shepherds who had a watchtower to make sure the sacrificial animals didn't stray beyond the tower, and then, because if they did, they were not eligible for sacrifice. They knew that Jesus was to be, Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem because of Micah. And it was generally accepted throughout the Talmud that these shepherds would be the first ones to announce Messiah. And they did. And they were, Messiah was totally and completely opposite of everything they had ever understood about Messiah. But for some reason, probably because the angel told them and the heavenly host sang it, they accepted it, and they were converted by seeing the child. That's a big deal.
I'm just wondering if they did this little thing by just opening their eyes and they saw and understood, or just in the mysterious
way. We're going to get to that here. Let's look and see where this word epistrepho is used. Let's go to Matthew 13. Start in verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And it's talking about, what are you talking about? The hath is revelation, it's understanding. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The word converted in verse 15 is the same word, epistrepho. So, and who is it? Who's he talking about? Why does he speak in parables? To the human race, everything that Jesus said and did was a parable. Still is. Always has been. But to those who have come to the total end of themselves, then they then seeing, they shall see. Hearing, they shall understand. And then it goes on, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard. Still the same. It never changes. It's the same as it was from the beginning. Abel saw. Cain didn't. On and on and on and on. The question is, do you see? Do you hear? Do you understand? If you have any part of you still left in the I motive, you cannot hear, you cannot see, and you'll never understand. Because you're still trying to fulfill the curse, which is self-realization. Amen? What? You're doing it again, Gary.
I'm just doing it big time. Got two extra shots of espresso this morning.
Would you keep a monitor on him when you go?
I have no control over Gary. Come on.
Very little. On 12 it says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away what he hath. If you read that, and you think in terms of I'm going to get stuff instead of revelation, I mean, that's the whole key.
Right.
And if you see that it's revelation, mm-hmm. then you empty yourself so that it can happen.
So there's more revelation.
More revelation. But if you think it's stuff, then you have to crank up like Cain and get to work and deserve it, earn it.
Why was Cain's offering accepted? I mean, Abel's accepted and Cain's refused. Because Cain dug around in the earth to make something acceptable.
Right.
Abel saw the mystery and saw and presented the lamb as the type of Christ.
Yeah. And it wasn't about him, it was about the
right.
lamb, whereas Cain, it was about him and not the lamb.
Amen. Well, let's look at some more. Let's go to Acts 11.
Too easy.
Is that what you were... Do you have any other ponderings?
Everything you said was clear because of that.
Amen. Acts 11.
I don't ponder, by the way.
I'm thankful for that.
I ruminate.
And that's pondering. That's musing. That's that's trying to get something to gel.
Yeah. Experience gel, ruminate, communicate.
All right, verse 19.
Where did we go?
If you would have been paying attention, you would have heard.
Oh, too busy communicating.
Acts 11.
Exodus?
Acts.
Oh, Acts. I also have this man.
Well, if you use both your hands instead of having your oatmeal in your lap.
You don't have a fan in your ear.
Can they make you sing a song while waiting for Gary? No, don't do it. No, never mind, never mind. Don't do it, don't do it. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Turned is epistrepho. They were converted.
Pardon me, but I remember now what I was thinking. It had to do with the road to Emmaus. That was the type of opening up the scriptures that Christ be revealed, and he was revealed. And I was thinking the angels, they can either do it in some mysterious supernatural way, or they recount the scriptures and everything else and say, here it is.
Right.
And that way there's no, it's like the more than one witness.
Amen.
All
right. Now, Antioch, of course, became a huge, huge, it was the center of Christianity. After Stephen, all hell broke loose. When Stephen was stoned. And then all hell broke loose more so when Paul was converted. Paul was converted shortly after Stephen's death. And the persecution of the Christians in Jerusalem was huge. All right. Acts 14. Now this, well, let's start in verse 8, because otherwise, Paul is stoned at, here's where he's being stoned at Lystra. In verse 8, and there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. But the same heard Paul speaking, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people to Paul and Barnabas, or to Mercurius and Jupiter, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are in. And the word turn, that you should turn from these vanities, turn is epistrepho, to be converted. All right? You know what? I wish we would have studied Acts instead of Luke.
Well, we started with Luke because Luke...
I know. I'm just mouthing.
We're going to Acts.
We're
going
to get to Acts.
That was the
We're
point.
Moving towards Acts.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Acts.
Very slowly.
You don't have to say stuff like that. First Thessalonians.
Three-year cycle.
What?
We could do the three-year cycle and cover it all.
First Thessalonians. You know that I was in... It's now called... Thessalonica or Salonica, what people call it. And when I was there, it was one of those awesome things. It's just an incredibly beautiful place. But every time I read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I'm brought back there. It's this huge lake, and they have a walkway around at least the part of the lake that's next to the city. It's probably as wide as this room. And it's got all kinds of fountains and statues. And it's just beautiful. But anyway. Let's start in verse 1. We might as well. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians,
which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, always in the text, it's grace before peace. And that's the way it happens in us. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And the word power there is that word mean efficacy. And in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And again in verse 9, and how you turned to God. One of the most interesting things to me was how 12 disciples turned the world upside down. And the key is in this word sounded. It's a word that didn't sound by your words or your, it sounded by your emptiness or their emptiness. And they created a low pressure zone, just as before a hurricane starts, a low pressure zone. And the low pressure zone comes from affliction, until the people are emptied. And that creates a hurricane, but it's a spiritual hurricane that goes all everywhere. One man fully yielded or fully emptied is the most powerful force on earth. 12 men fully emptied. It's beyond comprehension. And that's what God is waiting. He's waiting for us to empty. Anyway, well, we could go to James now. Let's go to James 5. James 5.
That what you just described to me is the point of much affliction.
Yeah, that's why you glory in affliction.
Yeah, it wasn't outward. It's the inward affliction of letting go of the things you think are precious and important.
Well, it was kind of outward to them, but that's another story. I mean, inward. It was outward and inward.
Yeah, right. It is both.
Where are we
going? James, chapter 5. Verse 17.
Is there any reason really why James didn't write more in the Bible than Christ?
Brother?
Why was he so...
Because he was mostly... he was more interested in having the people be the letters than he was having letters be the letter. All right. Starting verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Now, I've sort of hung on to that verse from the day I became a believer.
Hope
it's
true.
Huh? Hope it's true. No, I don't hope it's true. I know it's true. Anyhow. So you understand the word return and what it means, and convert. And convert doesn't mean, oh, now I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Convert means you die, he lives.
Yeah, dying is the ultimate form of emptiness.
Well, you don't try to die. You're already, you reckon that you've already, that the human race died on the cross. He was the last Adam. If he was the last Adam, who are you? You've always been a vessel for deity. But there's been this usurper that's been mostly, he's been mostly, you know, masquerading as Gary. Anyway, let's go back to Luke 1.
Hey, Oli, real quick. In 16, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, we always, I get kind of like the epistrophe, we always interpret that as having accepted Christ and Christ's work within us, but it seems in this context, especially as you're talking about it, it's more about righteous can mean that, but it seems like righteous is meaning more death.
But Christ is the only righteous.
Which would mean the prayer is...
is his prayer.
Exactly.
And you have emptied because you no longer exist.
Meaning the prayer would avail with much because it's not your...
Right, it's his prayer.
All mixed with faith, because he doesn't pray outside of faith.
Yeah, all that faith is Jesus Christ in you believing in himself. You've gotten out of the way. Anybody, anytime anyone tells you what to do, then you should shoot them.
Or ignore them.
You can ignore them.
In other words, you've got to be packing all the time.
Packing, yeah.
I should definitely be a lifer by now.
No, you should be dead.
You should be a deather.
All right, back to Luke. Chapter 2, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorified and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Glorify, it's from the root doxa, but it mean what glorify just means, it's from the root that means to have an opinion or to suppose or to have a considered opinion. And so, but in the New Testament, it's been, that's the way it's used in classic Greek. But in the New Testament, the only thing that you have an opinion about, again, I pray, is the that you've glorified God, you've praised and thanked God for what his work is. And you, if you glorify anything else, then you're, you know, if you have an opinion about anything else, then you haven't abandoned yourself. We've gone through that many, many times, right? You don't want to do that. It's tautological. So, and again, there's all over the place, but it to praise and honor and extol. It's in Romans 11, 13, Acts 13, 48, Revelation 15. But it also means, can mean to glorify yourself. So let's look at some of those. Let's go to Philippians a minute. I think. We may skip Philippians. It just came. Yeah. Philippians 3. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not enemies of Christ. They're enemies of the cross. And that makes them an enemy of Christ. But they think they're friends of Christ. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So what they think they're giving glory to God for, they're really giving glory to themselves.
Why is that in italics? I mean, in
what?
Parentheses?
Because it's a explanatory. It's everybody should know that, but it's like an explanatory thing. They wouldn't have had italics in the original. In parentheses. They wouldn't have parentheses in the original Greek, obviously. But in context, it's something that they're explaining.
Oh, it kind of was added as an explanation? Or?
No, I think it was probably in the original text as the explanation. The brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And then for our continent in verse 20. So 18 and 19 would have been an explanatory, or showing what it isn't. Okay?
Yeah, that's a great
couple. All right, let's go to two more. John 8. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 8 is right before John 7. No, I got it backwards. I was trying to be funny and it isn't. And when I weren't. Verse 48. Well, let's go to 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now he was talking to Jews that believed on his name.
That is so bad.
What?
That is so bad.
Yeah, just look at it. Just go to verse 31 real quick in John 8. Just read. Somebody read John 8, 31. Pete?
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word.
That's fine. Yeah. That's enough. So everything after John, everything in that context, and everything from the end to the end of the chapter, is that conversation with the Jews that believed in his name. He, first of all, he called them children of the devil, which that didn't make them too happy. Then he's saying, you therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Verse 47. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art Samaritan isn't right. It should be Samael, or a child of Samael, and hast a devil. Samael is the chief demon. That was really good timing right there.
That was an amen.
No, that wasn't an amen. That was pointing at this scripture to Gary. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? What makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is the Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I have known him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you.
Ouch.
But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them and passed by. Now, and first, the word honor there is this word, the same word that is doxazo, which means to glory. Okay? Now, one more. This is Revelation 18.
What does doxazo mean?
Doxa means to honor or magnify or praise or extol. It's doxazo. If I had a gun, I would shoot your phone.
That's idolatry.
Even if it was in his pocket, you'd shoot.
Well, I'd shoot it because it's right over his heart.
Yeah.
No, and the phone would protect his heart. It might be a little bruised.
The phone would be a little bruised, yeah.
Revelation 18. Remember chapter 17 of Revelation? Oh, crap. This one's going to take a minute, so we will stop here and study Revelation 18 tomorrow. Anybody have any response to any of this stuff? It's the same story every day for 38 years. You die, you are dead, he lives. It's either he or the instead of Christ that's living in you. You don't exist. And the instead of Christ has a number, and his number is 666. And the mark of the beast, it's just the mark in the forehead, which is that always is throughout the scripture. When it's a mark in your forehead, it defines how you think. And the mark on your hand, what you think, is what you do. So you have a mark in your forehead and a mark in your hand. And the number is 666, which is the number of all men, because you can never reach 7. You can never be at peace.
By your own efforts.
You can't be at peace. He is peace. He doesn't give you peace. He is peace. Amen?
Amen.
We will take up Revelation 18 mañana, if the Lord wills.
He gets to say something.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to say anything? Do you understand anything?
This is your first free saying, Warren.
When you said doxosis, I just thought about doxology.
Yeah.
Obviously, got more.
All right, but the takeaway from this is you're the Antichrist, so.
Chew on that one.
Chew on that one for a while. Take it, big guy.